The good news of God's love according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. On the first Sunday of the season of Christmas, we encounter some familiar themes. Jesus's adoptive father continues to have dreams that he interprets as communication from God that is to be strictly obeyed, and events occur that are understood to be the fulfillment of ancient words of prophecy. The prophet Hosea did not predict that Jesus would travel to and from Egypt. He only recognized that in all times and places, people are forced to leave their homes and entrust themselves completely to God. The prophet Jeremiah did not predict that Herod would have children murdered. But he knew that powerful people in every time and place will go to any lengths to hold on to that power. No prophet predicted that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. We can't even find any record of an Old Testament prophet using that strange word, but it contains hints of a number of Old Testament images. And it demonstrates how God continues to be active in the lives of human beings in and through human events. The true meaning of Christmas is that God enters fully into human life in order to save us from the power of human evil. God does not create suffering. God creates a universe in which freedom always allows for the possibility of suffering. God desires for the universe to be filled with the joy and peace that come from the proper use of freedom. God does not eradicate all evil. The only way to do so would be to eradicate human freedom. So God chooses instead to limit the power of evil and to create good out of it. God's ultimate goal is that all of creation will be held together by love and filled with joy and peace. Psalm 148 describes the fulfillment of this goal as all of creation joining in one song of praise to the Creator. Following the ancient mindset of the Bible, the heavens plural and the earth singular are all of the entities in the heavens, and all of the creatures and natural forces of the earth are encouraged to praise the God who created them. I don't really think the winds and the weather obey God's direction. I do know that we're fools if we think we can meddle with the delicate balance of creation and not experience repercussions. I can't speak for the rest of the universe, but I know that on this planet, the only thing that can stand in the way of God's desires for peace and harmony are the cruel and selfish desires of human beings. This leaves us trapped in a world in which suffering is almost certain. That's why it is fitting and even perfect that when God entered our world, it was in a vulnerable human body that could and did experience suffering. God, in human form, experienced human pain, human grief, and human death. This was fitting and appropriate and intentional, because it is by becoming human and experiencing suffering and death that God frees us from the power of suffering and death. The sacrifice of atonement was not the payment of some kind of penalty. It was a sacrificial act of love done to heal a relationship that had been broken. Jesus became one with us and then suffered and died in order to restore us to being one with God. It is our unity with God that enables us to triumph over suffering and even death. In his suffering, Jesus became the perfectly complete representation of humanity, the pioneer of human salvation, blazing a pathway to God for the rest of us to follow. We are not to seek out suffering, but we shouldn't be surprised by it. It isn't God's desire for us, but when suffering is unavoidable, God will get us through it. We should work to alleviate the suffering of others, even if it means some suffering or loss for us. It isn't an easy path. And as Jesus demonstrated, confronting the powers in this world who are opposed to God is a surefire way to experience some suffering. But the goal of Jesus's pathway is the complete reconciliation of all things and all people to a God of love. And we have a vital part to play in the fulfillment of that goal.